This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Representative Kaya Morris, a Democrat from Bennington, announced in a Facebook post last Friday that she is withdrawing her candidacy and will not be seeking re-election. She's served in the State House for the last 4 years. In the post, Morris says that in the last 2 years, quote, political discourse and in particular within the sphere of social media has been divisive, inflammatory, and at times even dangerous, end quote. She also pointed to some of the accomplishments she was most proud of over her time in office. This week, Vermont's Attorney General's office said they're investigating online threats that have been made against Representative Morris, who is one of the few people of color in the legislature. Today, Representative Morris joins us to talk about why she made the decision not to seek re-election. Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So why did you withdraw your candidacy?
This was a very long decision. It wasn't one that was made abruptly. It was one that I had been feeling was coming. As you know, and you've been covering so much that's been happening at the State House over time, it's been a really difficult run to try and be on the side of social justice and speak openly about issues of importance that have to do with our civil rights and human rights and not be the target of attacks. And beginning at the last election cycle, I just started having this uptick of being a really intentional target of a number of different folks that are affiliated with white supremacist groups. You may recall that it all began with one of the columnists from InfoStormer tagging a local resident onto a post about my reelection, and that sort of began this sort of cascade of a number of different incidences, occurrences that just build into aggregate. And with more things happening currently that are right now under investigation, it's been very harrowing to see not only this happening within the online discourse world, but also happening within the real world. I mean, at the same time that these things were happening in 2016, we had propaganda being left underneath the door of the Democratic Party. I had a home invasion, vandalism, even the woods near my house where we go and walk frequently as a family had swastikas painted all over the trees there. So many different things that had been happening that are not terribly unique to Bennington, unfortunately. And that's what this moment is showing in a really glaring way, that this is right here. It's here in our hands, and it's only grown in time as we've had this call for civility and as we really sought to say, don't shine a light on it. And so by not shining a light on it, it's really grown exponentially and gotten many people caught up in various snippets and components of these sort of ideologies that build a culture of danger for people from marginalized groups.
But did something happen to you recently? Because, you know, this was after the primary by I understand, I think, that you were thinking you were going to stand in November, and then this withdrawal comes. So did you feel fear for your safety in a different way suddenly?
Yes. There was just, there were some particular things that had happened that we went to law enforcement to gain counsel on and try to seek support with. And what was just happening was that nothing, to be quite frank. So I do need to commend the Attorney General for picking up this and choosing to take on this investigation, because it was weeks without an answer. It was weeks without a response. It was a shoulder shrug and a good luck after so many years of all of this and the toll that it takes to serve in and of itself. Right now, I really need to focus on my family.
The Attorney General's office is investigating threats, and they're calling them online threats. Can you tell us the nature of them? What specifically can you say?
I don't know that you need to hear the minutia of it at this point, and especially since there is an ongoing investigation on it and they're doing forensics to try and determine the source of the threats and the breadth of this entire case. But it's been so pervasive in our life that I can at least tell you my son saw one of the threats, and he's 7 years old and was fully aware and understanding of what it said and what it meant and had questions about it. And this is just It's something that's unacceptable to have happen for anyone, let alone someone who chooses to step up and serve. It's not acceptable for any Vermonter, any individual to endure that and to have to wrestle with that and accept that as a normity within all of the scope of everything that we're trying to do and live as individuals beyond our public walls.
You must have a lot of different feelings and emotions about this decision, and I imagine you're hearing a lot of different reactions from people around the state. There are some people, surely, who are quite happy to see you go. There are others who will say, oh, you have to protect your safety. Absolutely. Right decision. And then there must be others who tell you, no, you have to keep fighting. Don't, you know, they win if you do this. How do you react to people who are sharing their perspective and their reaction on this decision with you?
Well, I think what's really important to know is that it is a personal and individual decision for myself, and it's one that I get to claim and own and utilize. You volunteer to serve, and it is not conscripted to you. It is not an obligation for anyone to ever place themselves in harm's way simply for what we believe should be this larger movement, because it is a larger movement, and it's not about any one particular individual. It's not about any one particular person who must do this work. This moment is really reflective of the work that everyone needs to do. And so, much counter to those few who either don't understand the full scope of it, won't understand the full scope of it, having not lived through it itself, it's really important for people to know how many folks have stepped forward, how many of my legislative colleagues have said, we failed you. You've been speaking up about these issues. You've been speaking up about the need for us to take this seriously, and we just haven't been there for you in the way that we needed. We failed to protect. We failed to support. We failed to have your back in a way that is meaningful. Because ultimately, the message comes down to this. So if myself, as an elected official, I'm left in this place of vulnerability, what does that mean for the average Vermonter who's also facing these threats within their own lives?
So where do you go with that next? Do you continue then to pressure the legislature, pressure Vermonters as a larger community? And what's your focus of your work moving forward?
I think that working in collaboration with folks is going to be really important. There are so many groups throughout the state that are now having meetings and are trying to wrap their heads around what more can we do. There are, as I said, government officials from the governor down that I've heard from that are saying, what can we do? We need to do more. We've started this great work, even sometimes in the policy realm or in changes in practice, for example, but this is something that all hands need to be in on. And so people have automatically said, this is what we want to do. And so I'm happy to lend my voice to those conversations.
And do you think public discourse, public feeling, racism can be improved here?
I think the way that we respond to it needs to be dealt with differently. We haven't had the level of forensics, the level of technology, and a true understanding as a country. We need to grapple with the differences between what First Amendment rights are and what the impacts of hate speech are. I was saying to the governor just the other day, look, a swastika on a piece of paper is not just a symbol or an image. If you talk to someone who has a Jewish heritage, they will tell you the visceral generational trauma that that very image associates with. It is a clear and present danger, and that is not something that's exclusive to my experience, but it is something that people are feeling and impacting, and we need to mitigate that.
That's Kaya Morris, a Democratic representative from Bennington who will not be running in November. Kaya, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jake.